I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I will tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my life was full of misery and woe. But Jesus placed his loving arms around me. And he led me in the way that I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me until someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. What a wonderful God that we serve. But today I'm going to shift into something a little different. I'm going to go way deep, deep down into the dark areas and bringing up some of those dark areas from the archives of my past. Those archives which I wish that I could forget, but they haunt me day after day because there's something that I've not yet been able to process very well. Once there was a salesman walking up in the southern part of the country, a salesman selling books, and he had this book for $5 that could help you to forget. And he came to this one house, and there was a man sitting on the porch rocking in his rocking chair, smoking his pipe. And the young enthusiasm salesman said, "Sir, I have a book here for $5 that can help you learn how to forget." And there was silence, which seemed like eternity. And then he spoke up and he said, "Sonny, I'll pay you $1,000 if you have a book there that can help me to forget." And that's the way that I have felt. I wish there was a book that could help me to forget. Yes, we have the inspired word, but something that I could really grasp my life on to deal with the trauma. I wish that we'd have time to dive into my journey of my testimony from crime to Christ. But let me share my rated R life as I can remember it. For as long as I can remember, my life has been a life of lament. When was the last time that you cried? When was the last time that you shed tears? And I'm not talking about peeling an onion. I'm talking about the anguish and the pain and the cry that you cry out to God from the hurts of life. Well, in my culture, the Mexican mafia, the way that I was shaped by these false narratives was often told, "You don't cry. You take it, you keep it in. You take it like a man." But you know, there's a breaking point. I don't care how bad you are, how tough you are. There's a point, a breaking point in your life where lamentation and crying out to God finally breaks out. Lamentation has and will continue to be a process for me. And I don't think I'll ever fully recover from the emotional damage. Some were by choice and others I had no control over. But as long as I can recall, trauma and sorrow and suffering and pain has always been my life experience. And just to abbreviate some, and then to just zero in on one, I want to give you more details. As far as I can remember, I've been associated with pain. Remember preaching one afternoon, PM service, I went home to press my voicemail. And in the background, there was this crying and screaming and wailing and just pain and lamentation. And I heard this voice, "Joe Manza, you need to come home right away. Your brother has been murdered by the Mexican mafia." Super Bowl Sunday, never forget. As I saw my brother laid there, bleeding, killed, and that pain and sorrow that I felt. Or what about the father who left me in a busy city of Chicago and just abandoned me and left me there and didn't get to see or hear about him until I was in prison, as they told me that my father was discovered in 3 feet of snow in Chicago in an alley. Never, ever was I able to have any closure there. And the pain would just linger and deepen. Or what about my mother, who was so devastated by cancer? She withered and died a horrible cancer death. And what about the verbal and the physical abuse by being labeled as a bad kid? Because back then, in this impoverished environment, no one knew what ADD was. And so I was labeled as a bad person that couldn't be still and physically and verbally abused. Or I remember that incident. Don't know the age or the location or the time. I was 6 years old. I think I was 6 years old. Was lured into a house by an older woman and actually forced to have sexual intercourse with that woman at that age. The trauma and the pain. What in the world is going on? And in the solitary confinement, you know, being in this dark room, you know, for 2 years, not seeing the day of light, a man can go crazy in there. The pain and the suffering, it's amazing that I'm not dead today. Although suicide attempts were very, very near. But then I think about that for a long time, I really appreciated Mike Hope at the Highland Church of Christ. Because I always looked at Christians and I always thought, why don't they pray the Our Father who art in heaven in the city? And let me tell you why that was important to me. One night, because I come from the Mexican mafia, one night I was mistaken by someone else. And these people came for me. And they were taking me out to kill me. And as I drove in the car with these men, in that old familiar place right outside of San Antonio by Bernie, Texas, and Bandera, where actually most of the people were found dead out in the woods. And I kept telling these gentlemen, I kept telling these evil people, you have the wrong person. I'm not the person that you're looking for. And I was roughed up. And I was told to be quiet. And as we walked through and we crossed the fence and we walked through this wooded area, one in the front and one behind, all I could think about was I was walking was, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I don't want to die this way, God. And as I was walking, I kept saying, you guys have the wrong God. You have the wrong God. And then all of a sudden, a miracle happened. One of the guys says, roll up his sleeves. And they roll up my sleeves. And you know, we have tattoos that we put in our body that tells our life story. And this arm saved my life because there wasn't a cobra tattooed on this arm. And they realized that they had made a mistake. And they hit me over the head with a gun. And I don't know how long I was passed out in this wooded area, but I woke up as I saw the moon. And I got up and I crossed the fence and I started walking 40 miles to San Antonio. And every time I would see a car, I would hide thinking they're coming back to change their mind. And the pain of all of these things, you wonder sometimes as you experience this pain, When will I ever get relief? Where is God? How am I going to get out of this? And then I turn to religion, which the very people and the very people that you would think would help you. And then more pain was added. Because you see, I was always told, God doesn't listen to bad people. He only listens to good people. God doesn't listen to sinners. He only listens to righteous people. And I couldn't even call out to God through this pain and through this turmoil as I began to cry out to this God that I didn't think would listen to me through my pain. But I met some friends through correspondence. And you know, it's amazing that you're studying the book of Psalms, because from the very beginning, this friend said to me, "You will never get well. You just die hoping and you'll get moments of reprieve from your pain that you've experienced. Ultimately, we will be delivered when we go home to be with God. But to the moments that we're on this earth, I have cherished and appreciate those moments of reprieve where my historical echoes of the past of my pain that constantly are hunting me down and constantly lying to me and constantly telling me you're useless, you're no good, God can forgive you, remember what you did, and throwing the past in your face. He said, I want you to read the Psalms because I want to introduce you to another fellow that he also had pain and sorrow and anguish. David. And I began to read the Psalms. Psalms like, "Oh my soul, why are you so downcast within you?" And when David couldn't find anyone to help him here on earth, he would say in Psalm 73, "Who do I have in heaven but you, O God? The earth has nothing I desire." And I started liking the Psalms and I started reading them. And I would get up in the morning at 4:30 in the morning, still do that every day. As I'm saturated with the Word of God, of His promises, of what God does to help me deal on a daily basis as I get this moment of reprieve from this painful experience of the past. And I don't have time to really give you a lot of detail because of time. But it is painful. And I read this scripture as I think about the pain that we all go through, and my pain. Psalm 73, "I tell you out, my God, I yell with my might. I yell at the top of my lungs, and He listens. I find myself in trouble. When looking for my Lord, my life was open, an open wound that wouldn't heal. When friends say, everything will turn out all right, I didn't believe a word they said. I was awoken at night. I couldn't sleep. I can't even say what's bothering me inside. I go over the days, one by one, I ponder the years gone by. I play my music through the night, wondering how to get my life together. Will the Lord walk off and leave us for good? Will He ever smile again? It's just my luck," I said. "The high God goes out of business just for the moment that I needed Him. And once again, I go over what God has done and lay out the table, His ancient wonders. And I ponder of all the things that He has accomplished and give a long and loving look at His acts. Oh God, Your ways are holy. You are God. No God is greater than You. You're the God who make things happen. You show everyone what You can do. You are a God who can show what You can do." This morning as I was reading, don't know where this came from, but they were interviewing the 33 men that finally were rescued from this dark, no life, no sun, lonely, fear, and depression, finally got the 33 men out of that hole after being there for approximately maybe 2.5 months. But I really like what he said, because I think that this is our blessed assurance. When we go through turmoil and pain and sorrow, and we all go through that at whatever degree, and sometimes it gets hard and it gets ugly, and you remember the memory. But they asked him as they were interviewing. He said, yes, there was 33 of us down in that dark hole. But actually, there was actually 34. Because you see, God is not absent when you're going through your pain. As Yancey says in his book, God is not in the thing that is hurting you. God is inside of you to strengthen you, to empower you. The memories may never go away, but you don't have to be defined by your memories. You are defined by God calling you my beloved, my child. I love you. Thank you.